The following episode of Focus on Arts was made possible by the Creative Community Scheme funding.
Welcome to this week's Focus on Arts on Coast Access Radio. I'm Paul Nees, your host for the show. We've just had the first weekend of the Kapiti Coast Art Trail. The trail this year is celebrating 25 years, which is a wonderful milestone. Over that time, it has certainly grown both in size and in stature, attracting visitors from many parts of the country and even some from overseas. This year, there are about 140 artists taking part. The Arts Trail runs over the first weekend in November, which we've just had, and this next weekend coming up. And here at Coast Access Radio, we have been chatting with some of the artists opening their homes and studios to the public. And today I'm very pleased to be joined by one of the originals, an artist who's been on every art trail since it started 25 years ago. She's number 58 on the Art Trail book this year. Hi, Diane Connell.
Hi, nice to be here.
Lovely to have you here. Now, 25 years.
It sounds a long time, doesn't
it? Yeah, well, let's go back to the beginning because originally in 2001, 26 artists were represented on the trail, and they got together, or a group of them got together, to plan it out, the very first one. And you were one of those artists, I believe.
Yes. As an artist, you're always looking at ways of promoting yourself. Marketing's often our weak point. So collectively it's actually a good thing to do. And some of us, most of us knew each other. So we got together and thought about different ways we could promote ourselves. And someone said, I've seen an arts trail in different parts of the country. Why don't we try that? Open up our studios, do some promotion, do it over a weekend. And so we just ran with that. And as I said, most of us knew each other, so it's actually quite easy to communicate together. And we kind of had little clusters. Waikanae Beach had quite a few artists and quite close together. So that worked really well. And then the council got on board. They heard about it and got on board, and they kind of took it over for the next year, and it's just grown from there. I'm ashamed to say I don't know all the artists on the Arts Trail anymore, but I still know quite a lot of them.
Yeah. So what were the practical things you had to do to set up the Art Trail for the very first time?
We put a brochure together. We just sort of took everyone's strengths. We used everyone's strengths that some people were better at marketing, some people were good at design, some were good at timelines. So we just took everyone's talent and put it together, and it was pretty simple, the first one, but it worked and people loved it.
So how did you promote it to get people to come along?
Radio.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit different back then. We had lots of businesses came on board, newspapers were fantastic, always fantastic, both newspapers, and it just kind of ran from there. And we just put things up in the libraries, which I guess is the way the council kind of started getting involved. And a lot of local promotion. We saw it as a local event then.
So 25 years later, how does it now feel to have been one of the originals?
Weird, really. I mean, I showed my son, who's now 35, I sent him the brochure and a clip of me talking, and he said... And I used to live in Honor Street in Waikanae Beach. I moved in 2011 to where I am now in Field Way. And he said, gosh, I can remember that first arts trail. And it was like, wow. He used to get so excited. He used to come running into the workshop. Someone's buying mummy's work. I've forgotten the question.
Yeah. How does it feel now to have been one of the originals?
Looking
back.
Yeah, well, it doesn't feel like that long.
No, of course not.
And it's always, it's probably easier to put everything together for it now. I mean, they always change my number every year, so you've got to change your number. I put signs up myself. I still put signage up, which is something that we all did from the beginning. Like, we all used to put our own signs up.
Yeah.
So you'd go up, you'd do this run in the morning. So you'd get up at like 7:30 and you'd put all your signs in the back of the car and your hammer, and you'd just go up to the highway because, of course, the expressway wasn't there then. And you just put all these signs dotted down the main road, Timuana Road, and then all along the beachfront by the cafes and things. And most of us did that. So I still do that. I've still got my daggy old signs. that I put out. Yeah, and it kind of just doesn't, it's what old people say really, but you just, time just goes and you don't, it doesn't feel, I mean, it always feels kind of quite exciting.
Mm.
You're always a bit nervous. You're always a bit worried that people aren't going to come. You know, you always have that kind of little imposter syndrome that tells you that, you know.
No one's going to turn up. I'm going to be all by myself. Yeah.
And in recent years, I've kind of gone, oh, I've been in it for so long. No one's going to pick me. But, yeah.
But people, they still do.
People still do. And I have a lot of people who come back. And sometimes that's the only time I see them during the year is they do actually come back for the arts trail and they come and see me for the arts trail. And then new people, that's always exciting too. That's always good. And in the last few years, I've started painting. So it started off as a bit of a extra onto the jewellery and people couldn't quite get the idea that I was painting, but now it's, I would call it 50-50. So, yeah, it's good.
So when the council got on board that second year, how did that actually happen? Did they get in touch with some of the artists?
Can you remember? They got in touch with us, I believe, and said that they were interested in putting some energy into it and growing it as a capity event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would had probably been quite hard work that first year for us. So we thought that was a pretty good idea. And we still had a reasonable save for a while. Yeah.
And can you remember when it changed from being just one weekend to two?
Yeah, that was quite controversial, actually.
Was it? Oh, tell us about that.
It was when the – oh, well, it was just that because a lot of us really liked the one weekend. I was a big fan of the one weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand now because, I mean, the numbers are so big now and the trail is so big, people just can't do it in one weekend. So two is – it makes sense now. But at the time when they changed it, we kind of felt that one weekend – it made it quite an urgent thing that people had to do. Like if they didn't do it, they couldn't do it. So if they didn't make that time over those days, they missed out. So it just gave that urgency to it and that sort of, you know, I want to get in there and I want to see that. This is one of my favourite artists and I want to see their work. So we thought it took a bit of that urgency out because once people have too much time, they kind of go, you know, I might not do it this weekend, I might do it next weekend. And then someone comes up and then they don't do it at all. So, yeah, we were a few of us kind of liked the one weekend. So we kind of pushed against that a little bit. But in the end, it grew so much that it needed the two weekends.
And I think you could probably get different people visiting each weekend, although some people would do two weekends and go to lots of them. But I'm thinking about people from out of town.
Absolutely.
They might just come in for one of the weekends.
Absolutely. And that is what happens. Local people still try and get around. I mean, I'm sure other people come in for two weekends too, but you're right. I mean, I think people from out of town probably do just pick a weekend and come in for that. And then they can never get around all those 140 artists. So they would have to decide. A lot of people decide beforehand from the website, from the council website. They've got all our work up. So we have a picture in the brochure, which is just depicts our work. But on the Capity Council website, we've got a whole lot of our work so people can go on there and have a look and see what we do. And often they do that. And then from there they pick who they think they want to go around and see.
Yeah. And a lot of artists in the book have their own websites as well.
Yeah, a lot of us do.
I imagine a lot of people would go see the art on those individual websites.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you better give yours a plug right now.
Yeah, www.dianeconnell.com. Yeah. So it's pretty easy. I've just changed over. They've just, you know, your website people, they're always being bought out by someone.
Oh, yeah.
Mine's just happened. So for a while there, my website was down. I didn't even know. But I think it's back up and going okay now.
Yeah, so we just tell people it's Diane with one N.
Yes, Diane.
Not two.
And Connell with A-L, not E-double-L.
Yep.
That's another big mistake.
So DianeConnell.com.
.com, yep.
We'll get you to Diane's work, which we're going to get to talk about very, very soon. Mm. Apart from the changes we've talked about already, is there any other way you've noticed the art trail has changed over that 25 years, Diane?
I think people, in a way, have become more interested, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You used to get a lot of, a few people who just kind of wanted to, they wanted to get around as many as they could and they sometimes just come to the door of the studio and kind of look really quickly and then ask you where the next number was. You know, just so you get they were kind of interested, but they just wanted to have a quick glance. Yep. I've noticed in recent years people are really I've got a pretty messy workshop.
Most artists have, I think. Yep. All the other ones I've interviewed for this show have said my studio is very untidy.
Oh, good. And people love that. I mean, they like coming in, they're seeing different tools and equipment and what you do with that and how do you use that. And I try and have my soldering stuff set up so I can when I haven't got people there, I can do a bit of work in between. And so sometimes I'm working when they come in and they'll just say, you know, just carry on. I'm interested in what you're doing.
And numbers have changed as well of people visiting?
Numbers are a bit, they're pretty consistent. As I said, we used to get really slammed back in the day. Like you'd get 500-600 people through in a day. It was just like
which is crazy. Yeah, huge, but they didn't have as many people, artists, to go around and see, did they? So now it's sort of would be spread out a bit more.
Yeah, those numbers are spread out a bit more.
So typically how many people have you had in a day?
I still get about 300?
So what has involvement in the arts trail meant for you both personally and professionally? What's it done for you, Diane?
I think it's a good way of, it's a focus. It's always good. I try and have a couple of things every year, like either an exhibition and the arts trail, that it's a good place to focus new work.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often over winter I do new designs and make them up and just kind of, you know, ferret away over winter when everyone's a bit quiet. And so it's always nice to have something new and fresh for the arts trail. And it's a great outlet. Like it's lovely. I like meeting the public. I did have a gallery for about 4 years. And before that, I had always just worked in isolation in my workshop. And I like that too. It's quite kind of weird that when I did have the gallery and I put a little workshop in the corner so I could work there as well as be there, it's the only way I could make it work. I was surprised that I quite liked that. So it's a good it's good to just have that contact with the public. You get to know what they're like. They get to see what you do, and because if you've got your work in galleries and design stores, I've got them throughout the country. But of course, you don't see those people. Other people see them. So it's that opportunity to get rid of that middle person and just actually have that contact with people who are actually buying your work and wearing it and looking at it.
So it's definitely the personal touch.
Which
is a great advantage, which is really good.
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah. And people like that too.
Yeah, and they really love, I love, seeing an artist actually doing work while you're there in their studio and looking around to see the workspace and how messy or whatever it is. How create, you know, you feel like you're in a creative space, which is really good other than going to a gallery, which is just paintings or pictures on the wall, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And people, I do find now, and I think that has changed a bit, is that people seem even more interested now. Like they'd really like seeing what you do and how you use things. And it's great.
So tell us about your art. Describe your art for us in a way we can visualise it because we can't show anything on the radio.
No, it's tricky, isn't it? Well, I trained in Sydney back in the 80s. I did a couple of jewellery courses, ending with a BA in visual arts. And I've always loved found objects. So I kind of liked them before they were cool. So I used to go along the and it was about the time when Bone was kind of taking off in New Zealand, Bone, Stone and Shell. That was a big exhibition in New Zealand in the 80s. And even though I was actually in Australia, I was training in Australia, my work kind of fitted in better here. So I used to collect bones off the beach. I used to do a lot of bone, stone. And then I started getting one day I was walking to the railway station and it had rained and this blue and white china had came up on the ground.
Mm.
So I started collecting china. And in Australia, it's probably the same here, you know, there's parts of Australia often near rivers and things where there's been settlements in the past and they've now gone. But what's left is often broken china. So I started collecting that and making, I do kind of signature bracelets with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then people start, they bring me, so I use found objects. So that's that, and I use stones and bones and paper and things. And I mix it together with silver and gold and make jewellery. So everything's got kind of a meaning. Often sort of little talismans, I suppose. Like I often have on my messy workbench little bits and pieces to go on a necklace or a bracelet, and I can have them sitting there for months, just kind of fiddling around with them, putting them in a certain order, just trying to get the balance right, the colours right, whatever, and the feel. And then one day I'll just pick up one of my many little containers and there'll be something in it. I'll go, that works for that. And then,
Then
that will end up being the thing that puts the whole piece together. I do a lot of that. And people bring me, I call it memory jewellery. So with those bracelets I was saying that I make, the China ones, sometimes people will bring me, say their child's had a cup from when they were a child and it might have cracked, or something of their mother's that has broken, and they'll bring me that and I'll make that into a piece of jewellery for them that they can keep and remember their loved one.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah,
so, nice doing that. It's a lovely thing to do for people.
So you've been doing jewellery for a long time and it's still a big part of your work?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Jewellery, I started making jewellery when I was about 15, like just, you know, love beads, twisting wire. And I got a hawker's licence when I was 16 in the Lower Hutt, and it cost $10. The police had to come and interview. It was quite weird. And I just used to go on the streets in Wellington, you know, and just sold a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And made things out of, they called it FEMO back then, but I think they call it DAS or something now.
Mm.
You make little shapes and bake it in the oven.
Yeah, I remember it as FEMO.
Yeah. So I used to make little things out of that. And then I think I did a night course in Lower Hutt. I've still got my first little bird that I cut out of silver. I still like sawing. And then there was no courses in New Zealand back then. That was at the end of the 70s, so I went nursing, of course. And then I went around, when I went to Australia, I worked there for a while, and then I applied for a course. So jewellery was kind of always my first love. I like that idea of just how adornment goes right back to the beginning of humans, really. And we've always put things on us to, for whatever reason, attract people or feel good or ceremonial or,
Yeah, we've always made things to wear personally.
We have.
And
we
adorn
have.
Us. And it's good that some of those now found objects are getting made into those sorts of things too.
Yeah, well, the found object thing's really big now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just huge. But, yeah, when I that first jewellery course, one of my tutors just used to, I used to drive him insane. He just couldn't. He just hated it when I put bones next to, I've been in this competition and I put bones with diamonds. And he was like, you can't do this. And I'm like, well, I can. He just goes spear at me and shake his head. But they were great. They look great together. You know, I thought they looked great together.
Yeah, so any rules are always made to be broken, of course,
exactly.
Aren't they?
Yeah, he wasn't really that keen.
Well, you brought creativity. You learnt the process of doing the jewellery with the course, but you brought creativity
to it. Well, that was actually quite interesting because that course was a TAFE course, so a polytech course, you know, and it was very technical. And it was just a certificate, really. So that was 2 years, I think. Only a couple of us passed that. And then I went on and did Sydney College of the Arts, which was the BA, and that was the more the less – I mean, it was still technical, but I'd learned a lot of technical stuff in the other one, and then I could do the more arty and add the arty and creative side to it. So, yeah, the two were very complementary. It was good. It was a good mix of courses to do, yeah.
So when did you get into painting and drawing?
When I was at Sydney College of the Arts, I did a little bit of painting and I did a bit of glass, but I couldn't quite get it together with the glass. And the painting, I just didn't really have time to do it. And the jewellery, I just became a bit obsessed with jewellery, really. So the jewellery just took over and the painting took a back step.
Mm-hmm.
When I started my gallery, I started doing a little bit of watercolour again. And I was really, I did this quite small little watercolour and I tentatively put it on the wall of the gallery and I was like, and this woman who I really, really admired, Beverly Bennett, she was a local identity. She made amazing stained glass. I think she did St. Paul's in Wellington.
Okay.
She was an incredible woman, lived in Fieldway, fantastic woman. She came to the gallery one day and she bought my painting and it was like, honestly, I would have given it to her. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And it just kind of inspired me on. It took quite a few years for me just to get comfortable with paint again. And now I love it. It's great. I quite like doing Everything, really. My jewellery is a little bit all over the place. Like some people have a style and you can look at it and you can go, yes, that's so-and-so's jewellery and that's what they do. I'm a lot more eclectic than that I do sort of colourful work and then I do stone work and sometimes I don't use any metal. And so, yeah, you can kind of tell it's mine. People always say we can tell it's yours, but there's nothing that's exactly the same. And when I started painting, I thought, right, I'm going to practice and I'm going to pick a genre and then that's what I'm going to do. Just can't do it. It's just really weird. It's just like it's not in me. So I do nudes. I do nudes in layers, seascapes and flower gardens. And I love doing still life and I like doing abstract. I kind of like doing everything.
It's a whole variety of stuff.
I know. It's just kind of – a little part of me is annoyed with myself, but – I just don't seem to be able to stop that.
So how does the process work for you? Do you make drawings of what you're thinking about before turning them into paintings or initial drawings?
Pretty much jewellery and painting is a little bit the same and there's a bit of that. So sometimes I do, I'll have an idea and I'll draw it up and with the painting I would sketch it up. I've got a little book I take, you know, all over the place with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like on aeroplanes travelling, it's always great to have a little book and I've got little pens and paper and I can just
doodle.
Yeah, I can just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I've always got sort of reference photos on my phone. So
yes.
Sometimes I just get an idea and just run with it and we'll just start and put a base colour on the canvas and then just go for it. But usually I do know what I'm actually doing roughly before I start, yeah.
So where does the inspiration, where do the ideas come from?
God, everywhere. I mean, I love Waikanae Beach. I love living at Waikanae Beach.
Yeah.
I love the ocean. I swim a lot. I love the colour of the water. And I love the light.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that local, I would never be able to do all the ideas I've got. Same with jewellery. It's just, I always remember someone saying that to me when I was a student. I had all this work over the bench and as a newbie I was like, oh, my God, where'd you get your ideas from? He said, I've got more ideas than I can ever make. And I thought that was amazing, but now I get it because same. There's not enough time in the day to do everything I want to do.
So how many hours typically a day do you spend working?
I still spend a good portion of the day working. Probably not 8 hours anymore. But I'd say up to five or six.
And this is every day of the week or?
Sometimes, yeah, unless I go away somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then you've got your notebook with you and your phone to take photos.
Yeah, and little paint. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so you are working and you're probably always thinking about it.
Always. Everything, anything. I mean, these things in the studio, these little...
The sound sucker-uppers.
They're quite a nice piece of art. Yeah. And actually, I remember once I was in the hospital and I was on the theatre table.
Yeah.
And I looked up and I actually did make a brooch from it. And there was this most amazing, the light was some neat shape and it had kind of geometric.
Mm.
Yeah, that became a brooch.
Well, our studio might inspire to do something.
Exactly.
We can come and have a look at it. We have to buy it off you and hang it on the wall, won't we?
I could do an exact replica.
No, we don't want an exact replica. We want a creative taste on it. Now, what can people expect to see when they come to see you in the Arts Trail for this final weekend coming up?
I've still got paintings and jewellery. So, I've still got quite a bit of work. As I said, a lot of found object jewellery.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of silver, more silver than gold, a little bit of gold. And... yeah, a few paintings. I actually, because I travel a bit, I often paint on unstretched canvas so that then I can, when I bring it back, I can roll it up and bring it back. So you can kind of, some of them I've put on frames when I've come back and some I just pin to the wall. So you can just kind of tack your painting to the wall.
Yeah.
It's quite funny, the more you paint, the more you get a little bit haphazard with your paintings. You're just like, oh, yeah. Throwing them around, putting them up. It's nice.
It is. So your paintings come in different sizes as well? Because some people are looking for things to fit a particular space.
They do. I've got little – I actually did I've got quite big paintings and, a metre or so big, and some sort of skinny ones and then quite small ones. I did a thing called 100 Days of Art, or Piece of Art for 100 Days. And you have to do, you commit to doing a piece of art every day for 100 days. So I've done that. I did that for 4 years, and last year just a couple of friends and I did it together, and we just commit to doing that. And I usually often just do a small drawing. And some of those I've got, I'm going to frame up some of those this year because they're quite, some of them are quite cute.
Great. Well, I'll just say to everybody, get along to see Diane's work on the art trail. She's in Fieldway in Waikanae, and the signs will be out. The official art trail signs and Diane's own original signs will be out.
Yeah, you'll be able to tell them.
Yep. Check out Diane's work on her website, which is dianeconnell.com, DianeConnell, and go along and see her jewellery and her painting. Diane, it's been wonderful having a chat with you. It's great.
Thank you for having me.
Great to talk to an original artist who's been doing it for 25 years.
Sounds old.
Yeah. And well into the future, I hope, too.
Me too.
Okay. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
And that's Focus on Arts for this week.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.